a Pharisee, a guardian of the faith, has invited Jesus to dinner, and Jesus accepts the invitation. We don't know what was going through Jesus' mind when he accepted this dinner invitation. Did he expect a relaxing evening with a few fellow Jews? Or did he know that this would be a teaching moment? Certainly, he had no idea that a woman would crash the dinner party and begin to pour a hugely expensive perfume on his feet and then wipe them with her hair. No one would have predicted this sort of behavior. Behavior that crossed all sorts of lines and mores and norms. For starters, a woman would not be in the room with men having dinner, other than to bring dishes of food in and out. Worse even, a woman should never take her hair down in front of any man but her husband. This sort of radical and unacceptable behavior just proves the known fact that she is a sinner. We don't know what sort of sinner this woman is. Luke leaves that bit out. But everyone there knows she is a sinner. She's a notorious sinner. The worst sort. I'm not sure why we seem to think that if someone's sins are public knowledge, they are worse than those that are known only to God and the sinner. Somehow I doubt that that's actually true. And every time I hear those words paired together, notorious sinner, my mind jumps back to the summer of 2003. I was doing coursework for my master's in sacred theology at Neshota House in Wisconsin. It was the end of the last day of class, and I was exhausted after having taken double the standard number of classes that summer. I was called in at 5 p.m. for my oral exams to complete my degree. And the examiner sitting across the table from me asked, "Under what conditions would you deny someone communion?" I answered, "I can't imagine any." He continued, "But what if a notorious sinner came to the rail and put his hands up to receive?" And I was glad that the notorious sinner in this scenario was a male and not female for a change. I retorted with a bit of my typical sarcastic bent, "Which person that comes to the rail is not a notorious sinner?" He continued to hammer at this, as did I, until the conversation came to an abrupt end when he, greatly frustrated at my refusal to judge you all coming to the rail, demanded, "Don't you know that people can receive to their damnation?" To which I replied, "Don't you understand that their damnation is not my call?" That, my friends, is up to God, not me, or even my arrogant examiner in seminary. Now, the host of the party, Simon, starts muttering to himself about this lewd display of bad behavior on the part of the woman, and then begins muttering to himself about Jesus' lack of prophetic ability. And Simon gets a rise out of the Lord in the form of a parable. Who loves more? A person forgiven a debt of 500 denarii or forgiven the debt of 50 denarii? Simon, shrewd keeper of the law and protector of the rules, answers, "Well, the one who has been forgiven more." And like a mouse caught in a trap, Simon, not realizing what is about to happen, finds himself entangled in the middle of his own arrogance and self-righteousness. Flannery O'Connor tells a similar tale in her story titled Revelation, where Miss Ruby Turpin smugly sits in the doctor's waiting room, sizing up all those who join her there. She critiques the young girl next to her as both fat and ugly, and then moves on to judge all the shortcomings of everyone else. A faithful churchgoer, Ruby, finally praises Jesus for making her so far elevated over others. She's sure that her status is indicative of the fact that God has taken a special liking to her. She proclaims to all around, "If it's one thing I am, it's grateful. When I think who all I could have been besides myself and all I got, a little of everything, and a good disposition besides, I just feel like shouting, 'Thank you, Jesus, for making every thing the way it is. It can be different.'" The young woman, Mary Grace, who earlier Ruby had defined as fat and ugly, loses her cool entirely and begins to choke Ruby. She's subdued and has a seizure. Ruby bulldozes on and demands, "What have you to say to me?" Seemingly thinking that God will send her a message through Mary Grace that will be more than just an apology. And what she gets is at least as unexpected as the response that Jesus gives Simon. Mary Grace curses Ruby, saying, "Go back to hell where you came from, you old warthog." And we cheer Mary Grace for her courage in the face of such blind arrogance and self-righteousness. And we cheer for Jesus when he puts Simon in his place, until we look a little more closely and we turn these two parables around and realize that we are a lot more like Simon and Ruby than the woman with the jar of oil or Mary Grace. The problem with these sorts of stories and situations is that from afar we can jump right in with both feet cheering for the revealer of the truth, the one who protects the vulnerable and the downtrodden. But when we really allow ourselves to let the parable settle on us, we realize that we aren't the ones who are vulnerable and downtrodden. We are the ones who are acceptable to the world. We are successful and privileged and notorious sinners, every last one of us. And while that might sound like bad news, it's actually good news if we claim it. If we realize that we tend to be arrogant and self-righteous, that we think of ourselves more highly than we think of others, then we also realize our need to be deeply forgiven. And that the only thing will save us is God's overwhelming grace. How much do we need to be forgiven? How much have we been forgiven? Jesus said, "The one to whom little is forgiven loves little." I wonder if Simon realized that he had the potential for great amounts of love because he needed an awful lot of forgiveness. The woman certainly did. She knew she was a sinner. She knew that everyone else knew it too. She also knew who Jesus was and that he could turn her life around. And because of this knowledge, she responded to him accordingly. She anointed the Messiah, the Anointed One. And in doing so, she did what the smug, self-serving Simon wouldn't. Simon hadn't acknowledged who Jesus really was and what he could offer Simon. A whole new way of life, overflowing with an outpouring of love. Who is Jesus to you? How do you show that? The good news is for us warthogs, grace flows freely. Thanks be to God. Amen.